goodness, that's quite a group. If you want to follow along in your Bible this morning, it's from Acts, the 10th chapter. But we want a quick review of the four priorities we've looked at in the month of August. Number one, the priority of love. That was basically love God and love your neighbor. The second priority was praising the Lord. And we had quite a bang up then with that praising the Lord, and we're going to have it again. All right. The priority of commitment. Whoa. That's a big one. Commitment to one another. As you relate to one another in the body of Christ, there's always going to be a little difficulty. Commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the most important. And commitment to trusting God to help us in all things. And then the priority of wisdom that we talked about last week. Am I the only one who needs wisdom? Ask God, study what He provides in His Word. Show God's wisdom in how you live in relationship to others. And today we're going to look at the priority of prayer. That's a word that we use without really understanding it. Well, I've prayed about it, therefore. Well, you know, there are all kinds of different kinds of prayer. There's warfare prayer. There's thanksgiving prayer. There's adoration prayer. There's Holy Ghost prayer. There's prayer of agreement. And today we're not going to, I can't talk about all of those. But I do want you to understand that prayer is just not a simple situation where we say, I've prayed about it. Well, what have you prayed? Are you involved in any warfare praying? Are you involved in any agreement praying? Are you involved in any Holy Ghost praying? Are you involved in thanksgiving praying? Those are all aspects of prayer, and it's not covered by just, well, I've prayed about it. So we want to look at the priority of prayer today. The book of Acts was written by Luke, the physician, and after he finished the Gospel of Luke, he wrote the book of Acts. And Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead. He had appeared off and on to the disciples for over 40 days. And at the end of the 40 days, he met with the disciples and he gave them some instruction. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to wait in Jerusalem to receive the gift that I promised you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they did that, and they had to wait quite a while. But during that time, they prayed. And that's certainly something for us to look at. So the disciples did just exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told them to do. Boy, that's a big mouthful, isn't it? Do we do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word tells us to do? I'm thankful that the disciples did that. And they didn't waste their time arguing and fussing and fighting. They spent their time praying and waiting for the gift that was going to come to them that Jesus promised would take care of them. An amazing amount of prayer and the heart is found in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Wow. It's now about 10 years after the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jews came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Later, 5,000 Jews came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 10 years after the day of Pentecost, no Gentiles, just Jews. There was a reason for that, because the Jews thought that they were a cut above the Gentiles. In fact, several cuts above the Gentiles. In fact, it was against the law for a Jew to go into a Gentile home. It was certainly against the law for a Jew to eat any Gentile food. If it wasn't kosher food, a Jew wasn't going to eat it. So 10 years later, after the day of Pentecost, no Gentiles had been reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is a Gentile? Anyone who is not a Jew. So you people are all Gentiles. Do we have a Jew among us? Do we have anybody here who is a Jew? No, we don't. But I'll tell you what, isn't it a wonderful thing that God intervened on this situation and instructed them to start preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Gentile world? Had that not happened, we wouldn't be here today. We're only here today because of what we find in the book of Acts and the situation with the household of Cornelius. They weren't trying at all to reach the Gentiles because they were prejudiced. They really were. They felt like they really were way above the Gentile world. And they were not about to go out and enter any Gentile home. They were not about to eat any Gentile food. They were not about to knock on a Gentile door and say, "Could I come in to you and talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ?" That was not going to happen among the Jews. Especially Peter. He was very careful to obey the law, and he wasn't going to mess around with any of these Jews, these Gentiles at all. So, we want to think about what really happened in Acts chapter 10. As I mentioned a minute ago, you and I wouldn't be sitting here had this passage of Scripture not been fulfilled. Here's what it is. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion. That is, he was in charge of 100 people, 100 soldiers. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed. He diligently saw an angel of God. Wow. Who came to him and said, "Cornelius!" Cornelius stared at him in fear, I would too. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Here's what was given next. "Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and devout soldier, who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. God really worked on the heart of Cornelius. Cornelius didn't understand all that was taking place, but he was willing to obey. Boy, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? How many of us know what we should do from the Word of God? We know what it says. Are we willing to obey it? Cornelius, who was a devout person, who gave gifts to the poor, and who prayed to Jehovah God, I doubt that he understood very much about Jehovah God. He didn't have an Old Testament. He knew very little about that, but he prayed. And that's certainly a commendable thing that we see in the life of Cornelius. In the Old Testament, the Jews really, really did believe that they were many ranks above the Gentiles. And even though the day of Pentecost had come, 5,000, 3,000 Jews accepted Christ. 10 years, many Jews had come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But nothing had happened among the Gentiles. I'm afraid that feeling was still prevalent in the early church, and in some respects prevalent today. It's amazing how a mosque can go into the nation of Israel, slaughter babies, animals, men, women, children. And what does our country do? We say, yeah, good stuff. Our colleges get together and praise Hamas for such a slaughter. I don't understand it. But they think that they are somehow superior to a Jew. Jews have been hated forever, and they will continue to be hated, unfortunately. But I'm telling you, as Christian people, the Scripture says, those who bless Israel will be blessed by God. Do you believe that? So what are you doing to bless Israel? Are you supporting anything that has to do with Israel? Are you praying for Israel? Do you know that the Jewish people have won more accolades spiritually than any other group of people? They have done more technologically than anybody else. God has blessed them with a tremendous mind. We better be careful about what we're doing and what we're saying, because God is going to bless those who support Israel and those who do not. He's not going to bless those who do not support Israel. Wow. The church began in Jerusalem, and those first people were all Jews, and it took this situation with Cornelius to change some hearts. The Scripture tells us that Cornelius was a God-fearing man. He gave to those who had a need, and he was a pretty remarkable guy for a Roman soldier, a Gentile. But Cornelius was not a Christian. We look at that and we would say, well, he must be a Christian. Good grief, he prayed to God, and he gave to those who needed a hand up. So he must be a Christian. No, he wasn't a Christian. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. You can do all the good works that you want to do, and that doesn't make you a Christian. You can be kind-hearted. You can give of your money to Christian causes. You can pray to God. That doesn't make you a Christian. And after 10 years from Jerusalem, that's what God wanted Simon Peter to understand. And so he chose Cornelius, who was a good man. He wasn't an evil man, but you can be a good man, not an evil man, but you're not a Christian. And that's what this whole scenario is about. Pray for God to work on hearts. We don't have Jew and Gentile divisions among us today. We're all one in Christ. But I think it is true that we have heartfelt divisions within our own minds. I don't know what you think about the nation of Israel. I don't know why you would even dislike a Jew. I don't understand this whole scenario that has been around for years and years and years. I do understand some of what happened in Nazi Germany. And you know why that happened? Because of the pastors. Because the pastors did nothing. They saw it coming and they did nothing, and we're in the same scenario today. We should do something. We shouldn't sit on our laurels. And I'll tell you what, if we don't, you might be on that next train to Auschwitz like they were in that time. I know you don't believe a word I'm saying. You think it's all they didn't in the time of persecution under Hitler. They didn't think anything would happen. They didn't think there would be any repercussion for not doing anything. But there were 6 million. 6 million. If you've ever seen Auschwitz and some of those places and the bodies stacked cord high, do you know how many barrels of gold they took out of the mouths of the Jews? Many, many barrels of gold. Some of their flesh was used, some of their skin was used to make lamps. We today don't think that that can happen. But it can. And if the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take a stand on the gospel, it could happen again. God marvelously worked on Peter's heart to help him understand that God loves everyone and wants all to come to him. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. That was very customary. God gave him a vision of unclean foods. A voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." Oh. Peter said, "Not me, baby. I don't eat any unclean food. Not me." And what was in that sheet was all unclean food that Jews were not supposed to eat. And this, It came down three times. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Wow. Peter had personally been called by Jesus to be an apostle. He had lived with Jesus for 3 years. He loved Jesus. He understood some of the things that Jesus taught. I don't think he understood it all, or he wouldn't have been influenced to reject the Jews, to reject the Gentiles. He had been used by God to preach to the Jews in a powerful way, but Peter was not perfect, and so he rejected the Gentiles. Jews were special to God, always have been, always will be. He has given the Jews tremendous intelligence. They have come up with things in Israel that nobody else in the world has come up with. Who else can make seawater drinkable? We don't. Peter needed to learn that God accepted everyone, including Gentiles. Let's see how God worked on the heart of Peter. So let's go back to Acts, the 10th chapter. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to pray, as we've already said. God gave Peter a vision of the unclean stuff in the sheets, and he said, "Man, I've always been pure. I wouldn't eat that stuff for all the money in the world." But God said, "You better start. Because what God has made clean, you better not say is unclean." So, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, these men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come to me?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, man, respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house." Whoa. That must have struck Peter pretty hard. "So that he could hear what you have to say." Remember, a Jew did not go into a Gentile home. But this situation required Peter to go into a Gentile home. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the man into the house. What a breakthrough. Peter inviting a Gentile into the house to be his guest. He's going to feed him. He's going to treat him like he's a human being. And what a warm, wonderful breakthrough that happened to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were not for this situation with Cornelius, we wouldn't be here today. If it were not for the fact that God worked in a marvelous way with Simon Peter and Cornelius, we wouldn't be here today. But now there's no division between Jew and Gentile. We're all one in Christ. I'm thankful for that. I don't know about you. We don't have to be different in any possible way. So Peter said to them, You are aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. He just wanted to get that out in front. You know, I'm breaking the law here, but I'm doing what God told me to do. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. It's hard for us to understand how Peter came to that conclusion after living under Jewish law for so long. But here he was saying, I will not call anyone impure or unclean. So, when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Good thing, because it was an angel from the Lord who perpetrated this whole thing. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, as I was praying, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers. Send for Simon Peter. So I sent for you, and we are here to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. And do you know what Peter was told? He was told that he and his entire household had to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And they did that. You know, the interesting thing, if you read this entire passage of Scripture, as a result of this, they spoke in unlearned languages. Well, I won't get into that one because you don't want me to. So what have we learned here today? God loves everyone. You know, I think about the situation with the open borders and all the immigrants who've come into our country. God loves each and every one of them. We have all kinds of ideas and feelings about that whole scenario. When they go into an apartment and take it over and run people out. But you know what we need to do? We need to share the gospel of Christ with them. They may listen, they may not listen. But ours is not to take them by the nape of the neck and make them become a Christian. Ours is just to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have my opinions on the open borders. You may have your opinions. I don't like it, but they are God's people. God created them just like he created us. And we need to share the good news with them too. We're all Gentiles. God is working on the hearts of people. Will I allow God to work on my heart? Will I allow God to put me in a situation where I share the good news of Jesus Christ with those we may not agree with? That's okay. We don't have to agree. All we have to do is share the gospel. I can't convert anybody. You can't convert anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And he can do that because we share the good news. And just keep remembering what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. These people have come to our country because they, I don't know what they all expected. And I don't know just exactly what we expect. But I tell you what, the day is going to come when all of us stand before God and give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. I want to, before I quit this morning, do you have a circle book? Anybody have a circle book? Would you bring that up here? I don't know what I did with mine. Thank you. I want to express a word of appreciation to the women's ministry for encouraging prayer. During the month of September, they are asking that we all read this little circle book. By the way, this isn't anything new, but he's done a good job in writing the book. It's not new. Years ago, when I was holding revival meetings, we drew circles. Whenever I started a revival meeting, the first thing that I did on Sunday morning was to have everybody draw an imaginary circle, stand in the circle, and pray for the revival. Let me ask you a question. What would you do next week if we had 50 new members come to this church? Huh? That's easy to say. But that did happen to me once. As a result of a three-week revival, we had 50 new members come to this church. You cannot believe what turmoil that put that church into. They didn't have enough teachers. They didn't have enough Sunday school rooms. They didn't have enough of anything. It kind of bothers me that the churches have stopped having revival meetings. It used to be that churches had a revival meeting once a year, sometimes twice a year. And those revival meetings would go as much as 3 weeks. Sometimes 1 week if it wasn't going too well. Otherwise, it could go 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But the whole idea of this book is to draw a circle and to pray about certain things. And I think it's a good idea. And then we are being asked sometime in September, is it September or October? October, to get together and pray over our community, going downtown to do that. But in order for that to be effective, you've got to do something today. You've got to stand up and draw an imaginary circle around you. Did you hear me? Yeah? How many of you are willing to do that? I got one, two. So in closing this morning, that's what I'm going to ask you to do. We've been talking about prayer. That's what this is all about. It's about prayer. And there are lots of different circles in here, but I would ask you to draw that imaginary circle and just pray that the Lord would use this effort to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Boy, that's weak. I don't know what to do to get a brickbat, I guess. So let's be standing.